and I will rejoice, for he has made me glad, so glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad, and I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter, and I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter these courts with all my praise,
and I will say this is the day that the Lord has made.
Oh, I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Made me glad. Yes,
he has.
That quickening power this morning. Let me just give me a minute here.
Amen.
The quickening power is life.
Yes.
It's life.
Yes.
It's life that comes and stays.
Amen.
You know, even Jesus down at the River Jordan, he said, whom the Holy Spirit comes on, that dove lights on and stays.
Right.
And us, he that endures to the end.
Yes.
You know, this is not you get to a pinnacle of something. It's not where you get to a place where I got it. I'm born again.
Right.
Well, that's just a start. That just puts the life of Christ in you. You keep believing. You keep hearing the word. You keep believing. You keep mixing with faith. It keeps benefiting you. It keeps you grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. It never stops. Never stops. That's why we don't denominate. That's why we don't have a set of laws. That's why we don't have a set pattern. Anytime life stops, you get a rut. That shows life stops. And by not getting in the rut, that shows life is still present. Life's still moving. Life's still growing.
Amen.
That's thinking about a child. A child's born, that's just the beginning of it. Then he starts to crawl. Then he starts to walk. Then he starts to run. Then he starts getting in trouble. Then he starts to learn something. But you know, he expresses himself. When he's young, first thing he cries out. Something in him wants to express. And something's got to make a noise. You know, well, he's vocal. Well, don't bother. He's supposed to be vocal. He's supposed to let whatever in you out. And it continues to come out. And you go through stages in life where you grow, and you grow, and you grow. When you stop growing, you die.
That's it.
And I've been in this thing for a while, and it doesn't even matter. Because I'm looking to see the next step, the next bit, the next thing I can do to express it. And this is This is the bride. Amen. She's on her feet. Amen. That's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it.
Amen.
She's calling for her change now. That's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it for over there. It's a pinnacle. It's a place. But it doesn't stop there.
Amen.
This is eternal life.
Yes.
And in natural life, death stops it.
Right.
But in this, a body change that just begins.
Amen.
And we continue to grow. You can't stop eternity. I thank God for a revelation, for an understanding
Amen.
Of who I am, for an understanding
Yes.
that I'm alive.
Amen.
I'm on my feet.
Amen.
I know what this is. But that doesn't stop it. That's just the beginning. I know what it is, so now I know more what to do.
Oh,
as I learn, I get it, you know, in the natural, I get a
Yeah.
job.
Yeah.
That's not the end of it.
No.
Now I start working. I make
Yeah.
money.
Right.
I gain things. I move on up. When people get discouraged, it's when they stop.
That's right.
Even in the job, they get there, oh, it's as high as I can go in this company.
Yeah.
Well, they get discouraged. It's discouraging to stop. I never want to stop. I want to always grow in the grace and the knowledge. And always, you know, God's the God of inspiration. You got something in your heart? Can't wait to get it out. Get it out faster. Amen.
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 The moving God.
Amen.
Praise God. I've sat here for many months, and I've been kind of confused, you know, I've come from many different religions. I've come from Baptist, come from Pentecostal,
right.
come from it all. And I have been asking God, please help me, Lord, please help me understand this word. The other night, my husband broke it down for 5 hours straight, and something clicked. And my soul was on fire for it. And I am so thankful. I am so thankful. Thank you, God, that I understand. And I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Thomas.
Woo.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This thing, this, our God is amazing, man. Because, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I was confused at first, too. When I came in here, and I dang sure don't know how to preach. Like our brothers up here that get up here and break it down so seamlessly and so simple for us. But it was something that night that it wasn't me.
Come on. Yes.
It wasn't me because I felt like Brother Jay when I was talking about the other night. I swear.
Oh, my goodness.
I was able to go from the church ages breaking down. I was able to go from Adam and Eve to
Amen.
My praise Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, sis.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Where am I at? Fix me up. When I think of the goodness of Jesus.
Amen.
On it, but you know, here I am in the fullness of in the dispensation of the fullness of time. I know what day it is. If you want to hear from God, the only place you can get him is in the voice of the bride.
That's right.
We are getting the final voice to the final age. It doesn't matter. If you feel like it, it doesn't matter if you even look like it. You are the only way this generation hears from God. After this, it goes dark. When we leave, it goes dark. What an hour to be living. How thankful I am for my husband, Pastor Moore.
Yes.
He has made me everything I am. You know, I may never get. You know, I got a clear revelation this morning. If there was anything I could do for salvation, if there's any works that I could have done, Christ died in vain. He died. He knew that in this body, you would never get there. All the desire is there, but he said the flesh is weak. But he took care of it, Kevin. I'm signed. I'm sealed. I'm delivered. I'm glorified. All I'm doing right now, y'all, all we doing now is just walk it out. So you can't blame me when I know what I know. And I can't hardly hold my seat. Satan said, you can't sing. Shut up. But when it was like fire set up in my house. So this precious 2 hours just was like, just smell that Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That whole atmosphere is permeated with the presence of God.
Amen.
All these lights out here. Amen. Ooh, I can feel it. Ooh, I can feel it. Woo! You can't blame me if I get a little drunk. And you know what? I just got back from vacation. I look dark. Yeah, I'm blackety black. Because I enjoy it. But there is nothing on this earth that matches the revelation of this place. What we know, the joy you know, it's not out there. There is nothing, do you hear me? Nothing in this dimension that equals what we get here. So you can't blame. I'm starving to death. I come in here, pass me this, pass me some of that. I'm hungry and greedy for the word. I'm set up.
Amen. So we're going to do Psalm 163 in the chorus. We're in this church.
Amen.
We're here to praise. I'm here to do what the sign says here. Get rowdy. That's what I came here for myself.
Liven up a little.
Amen.
Throw some water.
When I think.
We're in this church, this glorious church. We did not join, no, I was born. I have a new birth, some glorious day. I'm gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. We're even in this church. Greet your neighbor, we're in this church. Let's have church. This glorious church. We did not join. No, I was born. I have a new birth. Some glorious day. We're gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. We're even in this church. Oh, hallelujah. We're in this church. Glorious church. We did not join. No, I was born. I have a new birth. Some glorious day. I'm gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm even in this church. Oh, we're in this church. This glorious church. No, we don't join. No, I was born. I have a new birth. Some glorious day. We're gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my words, that we're in this church. Join, no, we were born. sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. We're in this church. One more time. We're in this church. This glorious church. We did not join, no, we were. Church, we did not join, no, we were born to have a new birth. Some glorious day, we're gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my word. It's by His grace, not by my words. It's by His grace, not by my words. We're in this church. Oh, my, 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 my. It is so good to be in the house today. Woo! Oh, my goodness, I'm so stirred up already. Oh, I knew what time it is when I walked through the door. It's so good to have my pastor back. I love my pastor. Love this man. You know, and it's not the man that we need to follow. It's the office in that man. But I still love the man, too. I love everything God created in my pastor. Head to toe. And I'm glad he's home. So glad. Now we can have church. Now the flavor's right in here. All right. Well, whew, I can't even hold myself together. Let me slow it down just a little bit. Because Jay, you preached some stuff that I was like, I need to write this down. Like, oh my goodness, because there were some things that I had to note because I didn't want to forget because it meant something so deep to me. It hit me so deep. He said something about this quickening power, but before I even say anything, God gave me this scripture this morning as I was just trying to prepare. You know, you want to come here and have something on your heart. So I got a covered dish, and this is out of Peter, 2 Peter.
Yeah.
Let me see. Chapter 1. Yeah. And then we're going to go to verse 3. And it's a little bit of reading, but this will bless you because now it reads different. After what he said, it reads different about this quickening power, right? And, you know, he changed the terms on us in the Bible here. He said divine. So I was like, oh, I already know what you're talking about. So it says here in verse 3, according to his divine, can we just replace that with according to his quickening power, hath given unto us all things that pertains unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And they are precious. That by these ye might be partakers of the quickening nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, meaning, that's not all. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness charity. For if these things be in you, and they are, because that's what happens when you have the real quickening power. That's what happens when you are truly born again. You have to be born again to even understand those type of gifts that are bestowed to you. It was all in the seed. All in that seed. So, where was I? Sorry, I'm so excited right now. I'm shaking. Flesh, calm down. And verse 8. Okay, for if these things be in you and abound, they make and abound. Whew, they do abound. They make you that ye, just like our sister, she's burning, coming up here. They abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. So if you're not born again, you're already blind by default and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. For, and sin is unbelief. Wherefore,
the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Be sure right now. This is right now. Be very, very sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Look at what we get here.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. This is everything in the word, what we're doing right now. We truly are doers of the word, and we can't help it. We can't even help it. I can't help the hunger. It just pulls me here every time. I have to be here. I can't see it any other way. This is just so beautiful. But then I said all this to go back to this, and I had to write it down. He said, the quickening power is so strong. See, that curse, they were working within the curse with that quickening power. Like he was talking to, Brother Jay was illustrating about how the power was getting stronger. That quickening power was getting stronger through the people that God used through the Bible. But now it's so strong, it's strong enough to break the curse. Everybody else is working within it. We have it to where we're going to call them up and they will never die a second time. Lazarus got up and he fell again. They'll never fall because of what we're going to do. Our movement is going to get us all out of here. And I'm just so happy to say that. Next sister.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great.
Such an amazing God.
Yes.
Every single time he is there.
Yes.
You can hear it in the testimonies. You can hear it in the word that's being preached. One mind, one body.
Yes.
We are all coming together.
Yes.
God is a humbler. He doesn't want us full of pride.
Yes.
He wants us to let go. He wants us to die.
Yes.
To ourselves, to the world. He wants us to embrace his word. That's why he gives us the ministers. That's why he gives the wives to husbands. To guide us. To lead us. In all things.
Amen.
In all things. And you know, the quickening power is real. And that knowledge, it's a promise. When God reveals it to you, you don't know how or why, or you may not understand. It's not to understand. It's the promise that he's given.
Right.
And you know, no matter how things look, he's already brought us through. He's already brought us through. If you have a revelation, you're on the other side. You've already made it. Just because you can't see it, just because you might think of the world's circumstances are going to burn. There is nothing that happens to us that's not going to burn and be done.
Amen.
Our eternity has already been signed and sealed because we were here in the beginning. And we're going to be here when everything's gone.
Amen.
And nothing else matters. And his grace and mercy is so real. How great is our God.
Yes.
How He is beyond words. He is beyond this praise. He is beyond it all. And I'm just so glad to be here.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead, sis. Amen.
I just had to get up. Yes. One of many trials I've been through lately. Twice I pulled my back, and all you could do was lay down and use the medicines and whatever to heal your body. I needed help. My husband, my mom came over and helped me, and
amen.
Ice packs, but it's just his body.
Right.
I know, but still to find comfort, because that was something to, but anyway, so I'm glad to be here. All I know that all I could do is put the scripture on it.
Right.
I couldn't do anything. Amen. I couldn't do anything. I tried to fast to help the weight to help get along to get through the day, but he does it, and it's not gonna matter on the other side. But I can't wait to get there.
Amen, sis. Thanks, sis.
So grateful and thankful to be here, and with the past few messages that have been shared with us, talking about the dynamics, talking about the mechanics,
amen,
the quickening power, I am so grateful that the Lord, His Holy Spirit, dwells in me. I may not be able to speak it like my sisters and brothers, my pastor, my associated pastor, but God knows my heart. He knows my heart. And it's by Him, by me walking out on faith, I'm able to share with you all just what God has done for me. And I think one of my brothers said last week, when you look back on your life, and I've been around for a very long time, God has taken care of me.
Yeah.
And I am so grateful and so thankful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So glad to be back here. This message is unbelievable. First, I want to thank God for touching my wife. Satan will try to creep in and say, well, she only got a little bit of healing. I'll take what I can get right now. Because this has been a trying year. I'm not gonna let Satan even talk to me like that. I'm gonna take what I can get. So I just thank God for that. And also I want to thank God too for this revelation. And I was just sitting there thinking, let's hear the sis talk about what she's gotten. It don't take long to get a revelation here if you just yield to God. You gotta drop this. Once you drop this, God can work. He can work Himself in. He can. We come here as humans thinking we know everything. You don't know nothing. You don't know anything. You come in here to drop your thinking. And I talk to myself all the time. I don't know anything outside of this message. I don't. I need God to talk to me. I don't know what's going on out there. I don't know how to break down a Bible like that unless I'm a pastor in the ministry. But if you got this mind made up like this, God can't even deal with you. He can't. He cannot deal with you. So you got to come in here, drop your tradition, drop your thinking, and let God move in it like that. And then you get that quickening power. Without that quickening power, you can't get anything when you've got this mind made up. So before you want the quickening power, drop this. Drop this mind. You have to drop this. And I'm talking to myself. I'm not rebuking anybody. That's not my job here. I'm talking to myself. I need this. I got to shake that off of me, because this world, would take you under if you just yield to that. And I don't want to feed into that garbage. That world's gone. I mean, getting into politics, all that stuff, I'm not into all of that. I could care less. I don't care about that. I know what my mind's made up when I come here. I look forward to coming here. I do. I mean, it's so hard sitting in that pew and not say anything. Nah, I can't do it. Even if I came in and said, thank God for just getting me here one more time. I thank God. And I thank God for everybody in this church. I really do. I genuinely mean that. It's a blessing and honor to serve God with you, each one of you guys. You guys don't realize you're a blessing to me. You really are. And I hope that I've at least been blessing to you guys. I don't want to be the hearing anybody in this church. And if I am, Lord, shake me. So thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Good morning, body. I'm so happy to be back into the house of the Lord. We did go away this weekend, and I had the honor and pleasure of driving Pastor and Clarice That's my excuse for vacations these days. But I'm so thankful to be here because our fivefold ministry, and I want to say that correctly because I don't want to take advantage of us. I mean, they are preaching to us. I don't even know who's preaching anymore because all the messages are just gelling together. They all are making so much sense these days. And I am so grateful for our pastor and the fivefold ministry. And I just, something that I've been thinking about when they said that the veil between the ages has dropped and we're all one bride.
Yes.
And I feel like the veil in here is also dropped because the brother didn't say get up and shake hands. We just did what we know we wanted to do.
Come on now.
We wanted to greet the bride this morning, and I didn't need anybody to tell me. I'm like, I see where we're going. I want to be there. When we move, I want to move. So I'm looking forward to the word this morning. And God bless you, Pastor, because I know you've been up all night and all day. So God bless you. I love you.
Song 209 in the choruses, No Weapon.
Amen.
Key of G.
Amen.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Said no weapon
formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Said no. God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word. He will come through. So God will do what he said he would do. He'll stand by his word. He will come through. I said God will. God will do what he said he would do. He'll stand by his word. He will come through. Oh, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. Say no weapon formed against me,
no weapon
shall prosper. It won't work.
Say it again.
Weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
I know God will do
what he said. Stand by his word. He will come through. God will do what he said he would do. He'll stand by his word. He will come through. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Staying tuned to the announcements. We've got the sign-up sheets in the back. We've had some names cross off. We've had some names added. So just don't forget to, as you walk out in and out of the doors, just go ahead and take a look and sign whatever you got to do. And stay tuned for all the announcements to come.
Church pictures. So.
This is the last day. Ooh. So after today, they're taking it down. You have till tonight. Let's give you till tonight. All right.
And so, church picture, September 22nd.
Thank you. Let's sing song 98. We need to hear from you.
Yes.
And then we'll get him up. God bless the testimonies.
Yes.
God bless this body, this local assembly. I don't see flesh no more in here. It's just God all in all in here. Just give me Jesus. Just give me this place. Give me my brother. Give me my brothers and my sisters. Give me a brother Luke. Give me a sister Mel. Because these are the people I know. All these other people in the Bible, you know, I know them by what they did for the Lord. But this is a blessed, blessed people here. My goodness. We need to hear from you, KFG.
We need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do? I'm wanting that we can.
Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning, knowing we don't deserve to hear from you. But God, you made it that way on purpose. You said it by the foolishness of the preaching. That's how you're going to deal with us. And Lord, we come here today because we want to be dealt with by you. We want to be corrected by you. We want it to be admonished by you. We want to be blessed by you. We want to be encouraged by you. And then when we walk out of here today, we want to be more determined by what you say this morning than we've ever been in our lives. Thank you for this group that's here this morning, that's gathered, waiting to hear from you. Not from me, but from you. Lord, I ask you to walk these aisles. Ask you to speak to our hearts today. Move every hindrance, every thought, every mind aside, and let your revelation move through this place. Let your word flow freely here today, Father. Ask you to be with Brother Jeremiah as he ministers down in Little Bethlehem this morning. Ask you to anoint that service so that, God, they'll know that you are in that place. Ask you to just bless your bride around the world as they meet in different places. It's the same God. It's the same bride. It's the same message. And Lord, we ask you to speak around the world today. Ask you to bring healing power to those that have a need in their body. Lord, it's not beyond you to do that. It's still a part of your word. Ask you to bring healing both mentally, spiritually, physically, any way that's needed here today. Ask you to move everything aside. Ask you to be with the brokenhearted. Ask you to touch the Earlys and their loss this morning. Lord, a friend of hers passed away, and ask you to just bless their family and have your way today as we've opened up the word before the people. Ask you to open our hearts to receive that word. And just, Lord, just be amongst us and be the service, not just a part of it, but we want you to be all of it. Thank you for this opportunity. Ask you to be with us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'd like to read before you seat this morning. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. And now go ahead and sit down, because this is going to be a little bit of reading. And I want to just greet you all in the name of the Lord. And glad to be back home. You know, you can take me anywhere in the world, but I'm always running to get back to the house of God, because this is where I belong. I don't fit anywhere else. And honestly, if you'd say the truth, you don't either. Because what binds us together is our common love for the truth. And you can't get this anywhere. You can't get this everywhere. I hear from people around the world, different ones that listen in, and different ones that are hearing the words that are coming forth. And they're very thankful for what we put out there, because this is not something that's preached around the world. Not really. You get bits and little pieces, but there's not very many people who can tie the whole picture. It takes a revelation to tie the whole picture. And I know that for a fact, because I've listened to them, I've heard them, I've been around the world. I know the questions. If they had some of the answers that you have, they wouldn't ask some of the questions that they have. And it's not that I'm saying that they don't know or don't have it. It's just we've been blessed here. We've been blessed. We've been raised under Earl Childers, who was raised under Brother Branham's message. And we've been blessed. And if you ask other people at other churches what makes this church so different, tell them Earl Childers. We got a. I was thinking about that this morning, I think it was. I said, we got a flavor of Earl Childers that nobody else has. And it's okay, because, you know, I'm a little, he was a renegade and I'm a renegade.
Amen.
He didn't fit in and I don't fit in. And he wasn't liked and I'm not liked. But, you know, that's okay. And if I'm not liked, you're not liked. So don't look at me like I'm the only one. Brother Branham said you can tell the spirit of a church by the pastor, and you can tell the spirit of the pastor by the church. So when I'm away and y'all are crazy, I know where you got it. And when I come here and the atmosphere that you create, This is what I want. This is what I need. I want the people to have the freedom. I want the leaders to have the freedom. I want us to be able to preach with freedom and not feel like we're bound by anything. And I love this because this is what it's all about. And I bless our sister. I understand what happens when you get a revelation. And it's like, I never heard it before. And now I hear it. And it's like a whole new message. It's like I didn't understand. And see, we all can identify. That's why we get so excited, because we know what it is to get a new birth. We know what it is to get an understanding. And that's all a new birth is. You didn't see, and then you can see. You didn't know, and now I know. I didn't have it, now I've got it. And then once you see it, it's like that picture, all those little dots on that picture. Once you see, they say, in that, all those dots is the head, Hoffman, the head of Christ. And you're like, I don't see it. You can stand back and you look. But when your eyes get adjusted, see that the adjustment doesn't come from the painting. The adjustment doesn't come from the picture. The adjustment becomes with your eyes. See, when your eyes get adjusted, then you can see what you couldn't see. And once you see the Hoffman head of Christ in all those dots, I don't care where you stand in the room. You can stand over here and you'll see it. You can move over here and you'll see it. And before, you're standing right in front of it and couldn't see it. That's called a revelation. And God bless Brother Tommy. He's like, oh, I don't know what happened to me. I know what happened to you. God come in that room. See, you don't have to be a preacher to preach. All you got to have is a revelation. All you have to be is a willing vessel. Matter of fact, you don't even have to have the answers. If you open that channel, God himself comes amongst you and he starts speaking through you, and you will amaze yourself at how you tie things together. I know, because it happens to me every service. I get amazed just like you do. I hear from God just like you do. He opens up the scriptures to me just like he opens it up to you. All he is, Brother Branham said, the real gift, it's a gift to get out of the way. When you get out of the way, God can speak to you. Why do you think the scripture says, ask your husband at home? Because the same God that's at the temple goes home with you. And if you ask him, that same anointing that's on the ministry follows you home. And those answers that you have, and like I said, you don't even realize how much you know. You really don't.
Amen.
And that's why I tell you, my prescription is get to the house. I don't care what you know or what you don't know. Get to the house. When you're sitting here clipping your fingernails and throwing them on the floor, which I have picked them up before. Hopefully they don't do that anymore. But I was amazed one time I came in and said, fingernails on the floor? You got time to clip your nails while the word's going forth? So even while you're in here clipping your nails on my floor, God's speaking, you're hearing, and it's going in there, and somewhere along the line, it's going to come out. That's what people always said, you know, why, don't you know that guy over there sitting in that seat's drunk? Yeah, I know. I know he's drunk. Why you need to throw him out? Why? This is where he's going to get the help. Even in a drunken state, sitting in these benches, God can talk to you. I've had them come here drunk. I've kind of had them come here high. You said, I didn't think you knew. I know. But my prescription's the same. Get to the house. Because, see, as long as you're sitting at home, God can't deal with you. He doesn't have nothing to work with. God works in vessels. He works in human flesh. So when you bring your little house, your little house to this big house, and you sit it down in here, God starts dealing with you and talking to you. And while you're sitting there, you know, I've been in math before, and the teacher's doing a problem on the board, and you're sitting there watching the teacher do the problem, and you're like, how did they get that? How'd they do that? Like, how'd they come with that? But then, you know, you do your homework, and you practice, then when the teacher gets up there and does that math problem, you're like, oh, I know what they're going to do. They're going to carry the one. They're going to put this over here, and that's going to here, and then, yeah. You'll understand the math. It's the same way here. When you put into practice, don't just come here and hear it. Come here and listen, because you got to get, this is where it starts. You got to hear it first. But once you hear it, then practice it at home. That's how it's going to come out of you. You know, it says, if the Bible says, be not quick to anger, and you're a hothead, when you don't worry about smiling at me, because I know you're not going to pull that card here. But when you get home, that's when you go back to the scripture and says, the scripture says, be slow to anger.
Right.
And the scripture says, they taught us at church this. They've taught us this. Right. So what you do is you take the word from here and you take it home. Then you can talk to your wife.
Right.
And then she can get a revelation sitting right there at home with you.
Right.
It doesn't have to be me. But she hears you when you hear me. And I hear the prophet who heard Jesus, who got it from God. So God is speaking in your house. Yes, Brother Locke, are you saying something back there?
We are
one. It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. So I am always enthused and impressed when someone stands up and say, I didn't see, but now I see. Oh, I understand that quite well. Because that's how I'm after. I'm not about after everybody. I'm not trying to get big numbers. I'm not trying to load this church. I'm not trying to go out to the community and try to rake people in and have cookies and dinners and coffee and serve everybody up at here and make them comfortable, make just so they'll come. I want people who can receive the word of God. That's all I'm interested in. The rest of them, they can do what they want. I'm not even interested in them. And so I appreciate you coming. I appreciate you receiving. But you know, more people probably listen to us on the internet than sits in these benches. And that's why I spend so much time and money and effort and energy with it. And God bless Praveen. God bless him. He's been working hard back there. And people need this. And he's done a wonderful job. He's put that new microphone in. And I know they're tweaking it. He's working on it. And see, I was away. So I was firing at him all last weekend. Helping him because he needs somebody on the outside helping to balance things out. Well, he's working on it. I appreciate his hard labor with it because it ain't easy. It ain't easy being Praveen. I was out there last week with him, and he was showing me what he had to do to make that microphone work. You don't even want to know. But I appreciate the work that he's putting into that. I appreciate the efforts. See, the whole goal is for us to get this message out. And I always find that it's cheaper for us to take care of and put money here than to spend $15,000, $20,000 for me to go over for 10 days in another country. I can do it, and I will do it, but I'm saying it's just cheaper for us to invest in us here. You say, you spend too much money on this and that and other. No, all these things are for one purpose. It's to get this message out. Now, we're in the process of doing some other things. And AJ, I appreciate your help with that. He's helping getting some stuff for the musicians. We're about ready to get rid of our music books. Thanks to AJ and software. So, you know, all of this is working together. It's a body ministry. Y'all had a fit when I took away the books out of the seat. Y'all thought, well, what are you doing taking the books and you putting it on the screen? Well, you never found the pages anyway because half of them were missing. So it took us a little time to get adjusted to that. Now y'all don't even come looking for books. The last one I let hold a book was Sister Spears because she just had to have one. And even if she didn't have the page that we were singing on, she had that book open. But all these things that we're doing are not for us, but it's to help us do a better job in serving the bride around the world. That's why you need to take your role serious, whatever it is. Whatever it is, take it serious, because what you do is helping the bride, not just pheromone. You say, well, it doesn't matter if I do a... Yes, it does matter. It doesn't matter if I testify. Yes, it does matter. People are listening to those testimonies around the world. It's affecting lives. And I hear it. And I never share a lot of things with you, but a lot of things come back to me of what they've heard or seen. And like I told you about the brother who said, oh, I'm going to, he didn't know I was from Fairborn, and he had been listening to our services, and he was impressed with you all. And he said, well, and after he found out who I was, he said, well, I love the way you run your services. I'm going to do that at my church, give my congregation a time to be able to be a part of, because a lot of churches you can't be a part. I understand if you got 4,000 or 5,000, you can't let everybody do everything. But when you got 10 or 20, you ain't got nothing else to do. No. So we just all get involved, all get be a part. The bigger the numbers, the bigger the congregation, the more control you have to have over the people. That's why Brother Branham had a lot of things in place, because he was still dealing with thousands of people. And you can't just have 1,000 people every service say something. I get it. I understand church order and doctrine. I understand how you have to have certain things. We have certain things in place. My song leaders, they'll cut you off. They'll shut things down. If they feel led by God, they'll turn the service over. And I appreciate that. And that's in line with what I want us to be able to do here. So I appreciate that. Now, don't forget, we're getting ready to get scheduled for South Carolina, and once we do that, the vans that are signed up back there, we're going to shut it down. I heard it's going to be at the end of service tonight, and so at the end of service tonight is when we're going to take it down. If you have not put your name on that list and have a desire to go, do so. If you don't want to go, that's fine too. But just pray for us as we get ready for this trip. I talked to Brother Fred the other day, and he's excited about us coming down. And so it'll be good to get to the house down in South Carolina. It's good. I got another brother in South Carolina called me while I was away. He texted me. He called Antax, actually. And so I'll be talking to him. I'll see what's up there. But just keep these things in mind, because we've got work to do.
Right.
We as a body have work to do. It's not about me getting anything for myself. We have been privileged here at this church. We really have. God has blessed us. And if we don't do right by what God has blessed us with, shame on us. And that's the whole reason why I talk about tithes and offerings. And I don't talk about it much, but it takes that to make all these things happen. I got a brother that called me. Actually, he texted me yesterday on my way back, and he's needing some help, and it's a real good brother, and I want to try to see what we can do to help him out. But he's been a giver all his life, and I want to be able to help him at some point. So, you know, we do need you to continue to. You say, well, they can take it, they can pay it. Nobody even notice if I don't pay it. Oh well, you know, the widow's mite went much further, because she gave it from her heart, than it was for somebody who kept all and did all this stuff and whatever. But anyway, so we do need your support and your backing. But God's going to make a way if you don't. If you hold your money, God will give the person sitting next to you a raise at work. He'll move up the chain, and then next thing you know, and all these brothers will tell me, well, I got a promotion. I get happy. I'm like, great, that means God got a raise. So when you get a raise, God gets a raise. That's why God's so smart. That's why he said 10%. He didn't give you a dollar amount, because see, dollar amount changed. It might have been worth a dollar bill, might have been worth a lot of money back in Jesus' day, and it was. So if it put a dollar, we'd be in trouble. But God said, I know how we're going to do this. I'll do this 10%. 10%. And every time your 10% goes up, your 100% goes up, God's 10% goes up. So God ain't never leave himself without. He takes care of himself too. So God is wise. He's a wise God. So it's good to be back home again. I feel like I've been gone forever. Isaiah told me yesterday I've been gone for 3 months. So. But it hasn't been quite that long, but it feels like it. It's good to be back in the house, and I was so wanting to be here today that I knew Brother Jeremiah was going to Little Bethlehem this morning, and God bless him. And I appreciate he and Jay working together while I was away. And the messages were amazing. I was like, you know, if I was really in it for whatever, I'd say, my, these two guys got it. They don't need me. They were preaching up a storm. The dynamics last Sunday. Oh my goodness. And then the quickening power, y'all. And I'm like, they ain't leaving nothing left. Then I ain't gonna get, yeah, I ain't gonna get leftovers. Oh, they were good messages, and I appreciate them stepping in. And I love the fact that it doesn't matter who preaches. You know, some churches, if it ain't the pastor, they won't even come. They're like, the pastor's out of town. Oh, I'm gone this week. Where you going? The pastor's out of town. Well, I ain't going to church. Or who's speaking today, Jay? I feel like I'm going to go. I mean, but we know that it's not us. And we know that it's God in the body, taking care of the body, speaking to the body. And it doesn't matter which preacher gets up. It doesn't even matter whether they go to this church or not. That's what cracks me up. Brothers come here visiting, and they get up here with their notes and where they had preached a certain sermon about 5 or 6 or 7 times. And they get up here, and y'all got a bad habit of pulling. And y'all get to pulling on this brother, and next thing you know, he's saying all kind of things he never thought of. He said, I don't know what happened. I preached this message 5 times. I've never done this before. That's why they like coming back, because there's a real anointing here, and they love preaching in this atmosphere, and it's a real freedom, and I appreciate that. So we will have service tonight, so I better get started for this morning. I want you to turn with me over to Matthew chapter 13. And this will help you to understand why I said I'm not worried about trying to preach to everybody. Everything's changed since the opening of the seals. Even the way we look at salvation has changed. The way we look at even getting Christians to the altar has changed. Even the whole concept of saving people has changed.
Right.
I mean, and we have the hardest time adjusting to that because that's all we've had. We hold the word over you. We threaten you with hell. And as long as you do what we say, you get to go to heaven. But if you don't do what we say, you're going to go to hell. That's what we've taught for a long time now. And so people have come to church under the gun. And they come under the gun, they sit under the gun, and they stay as long as they can. And some people stay because they're scared if they go away that they're going to go to hell. And the preachers preach all this. You walk away from me, you're going to hell. And fire and brimstone and everything else. And but at the opening of the seals, the reason God sent us a prophet was because we had all these things mixed up. We had salvation mixed up. We had an understanding of who can come and who can't. Do you know everybody cannot be saved? You think everybody, because what we do is we've misinterpreted Scripture. Because the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come.
Right.
Well, that's all good and well. But that's, and it is true. But you got to understand the whosoever will is. Everybody is not the whosoever will. Everybody ain't going. And we have preached for years and years over the years trying to get people saved. And Brother Branham come after the opening of the seals and said, I wasn't saved on any day. And we're still trying to get souls saved. And I understand that we use that term. And I'm not afraid to use the term because Brother Branham used it. But salvation doesn't even come from you. Salvation is of the Lord. And you can't even get saved now. Because salvation's happened under redemption. And redemption was over in 63.
Yeah.
So you say, well, then who can be saved? All those whose names were under the names in redemption.
Right.
our sister who just got an understanding. She got an understanding, but she didn't just get her name put on the book now. The name was already counted for, and she was already sealed in even before she understood anything. See, what we come to find out is that we didn't come to get God. God was already on our trail. He come looking for you. You don't come looking for him. Man can't even find God. God has to find man. Man doesn't even know what God looks like when they walk up to him. Because I know God's walking the earth right now. And I know man cannot find God right now because they don't know what he looks like. Just like when Jesus was here, they didn't know who he was. He was the Son of God, and they didn't recognize him. They didn't know he actually had to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If they'd known who he was, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. If they would only know who you are, they wouldn't crucify you. So the whole redemption plan was totally different than what we've been taught. And we thought we'd come to church and we'd give our heart to Christ. Give your heart. It already belonged to him. You come to the knowledge of the Son of God. You come to the knowledge of who you are. You come to the knowledge or the understanding of the Word of God. That's all that's happening. But we didn't understand how that worked until the opening of the seals. So if you're still having church like they did before the seals were open, you're still missing it. If you're running your congregation like Brother Branham ran his before 63, then you're missing it. If you haven't gotten any more revelation than what Brother Branham had in 1963, then you're missing it. Because he said, we've come as far as we could in the written word, that we came to the end of ourselves. And you can't even get a new birth until you come to the end of yourself. Like was said this morning, you got to get that out of you. You got to stop your thinking. I think it was Kevin said, laying down your thinking. When you lay your thinking down, you can pick his up. Amen. You can't pick something up with your arms full. Amen. You got to lay it down. You got to put your thinking down. You got to put what you think it is down. Got to lay all that aside because it's nothing like what you think it is. It's not as hard as you're making it. And all you do is one day you didn't understand and the next day you did. One minute you didn't understand and the next minute you did. Because it comes from God. So the whole salvation plan that the church world have put together is wrong. You can't even come to God unless he calls you. You can't come to God, like Brother Locke said, unless you come from God. So if you come from God, that means you're a part of God. So if I'm a part of God and I come from God and I'm eternal, then I've got to go back to him no matter what. I mean, we put all these stipulations on salvation, like we got to do something. You did nothing but receive what he's already done. You received his word. You heard the word preached. And upon your confession of your faith in what? In the word of God. That's how that works. And we have it so mixed up. And we've worked and worked and worked ourselves up. And we've tried to get people to come to church that don't want to be here. We tried to hold people in church that don't want to be here. We've had people make confessions and say, oh, I'm going to be here all the way, and they'd fall off. Right. We had people hear the word, oh, I don't want nothing to do with that. Oh, I was raised in this message. I ain't doing nothing with this message. We got all kinds of conditions, right. And we try to justify in our mind, how can this be? Right. And we try to figure out how, well, who's going to be there and who's not, and what, and like it's our, like it's us doing it. You have no control over salvation. You have no control over your children. You have no control over your family. You have no control over your spouse. And as much as we might want it, it's out of our control. as much as we want to preach to them and preach to them and put it in them and make them believe, it's out of your control. You cannot make them believe. When my children say, well, I don't know if God's real, I say, I can't help you. That's all I've got. If you don't believe he's real, that's between you and God. That's not. I love you, but it's between you and God. Because I don't have to try to explain to you. See, that's what our problem is. We try to explain God, and you know you will not explain this third pool. You can't. And Brother Branham said that God told him that the third pool will not be a public show.
That's right.
You won't explain this new birth.
No.
If you ask her, sis, what happened to you? Yes, Tommy, what happened that night? I don't know. We was just sitting there talking. And next thing I know, God come in. And I heard Brother Jay. You know, we all understand how that works.
Amen.
You can't explain the new birth. You can't explain what we have. You are not going to have enough revelation and knowledge that you're going to give this to somebody. I can't make you believe. I can preach this thing from Genesis to Revelation. I think Tommy said he preached the seven church ages. He preached from Genesis to Revelation all in a five-hour time. I know how that works.
Amen.
But if you try to explain to somebody, can't. See, the thing that we need to understand is salvation is of the Lord. And if you have an inkling of a love for God in you, you should be on your knees thanking God because he has blessed you with something that, and you got to remember, at the capstone, there's going to be so few that's going to be saved that for you to believe, oh, maybe your husband doesn't, or maybe your wife doesn't, or maybe your kids don't, or maybe your neighbor doesn't, or maybe somebody your best friend doesn't. But for you to be able to believe and to stand in this wicked generation, oh my goodness. And then people, I'm doing the best I can. And people don't even like that. If you do this like we're doing it, you can do better. Well, we can always do better. Well, don't take my salvation from me because I ain't doing what you want me to do. But the thing is, people got it so mixed up that they don't even know how to help people. So I want to go over here, and I was thinking about this week. And I want to go to Matthew chapter 13. It's a little bit of reading. So I thought I'd just read it. Because there's so much in this first reading that I was like, how are you going to get through this? Starting at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went to a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things of them in a parable. And you know, I thought about that. I said, you know, I've gone fishing with Doug before. And you could be in your boat, and you can hear the conversation in a boat that's far away from you. Because the water carries the voice. That's why he did this. Y'all may not have known that, but that's why they did this. They didn't have microphones. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me in the back? They didn't have that. They didn't have these luxuries. So what they did was, So what they did was they put Jesus in a boat, took him off the shore, and let him speak. Because then the water became a megaphone for him so that everybody could hear. Smart, intelligent. And he spake many things of them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath an ear? Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?
Right.
He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.
Right.
May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I want to title this message, Planting in Good Ground. And I was thinking about this all week because I thought, I look at people and it always breaks my heart when they walk away from the word.
Right.
And we have a hard time understanding why they do it. And we think, well, we've told you this, and we've brought you this, and we've shown you this, and we've preached you this, and all the preaching, all the things that I do for people, you turn around, and they walk away. And you almost want to question yourself. What did I do? What didn't I do? What could I have done better? You know, parents, we're that way with our kids.
Right.
You bring them up, and you do everything you're supposed to do, everything you think you're supposed to do. You try your best. You try your best. And the best you do, they still turn around and walk away. And then you start looking at yourself saying, what did I do? What didn't I teach them? Why didn't I? What? I could have done. No, you couldn't have. It has nothing to do with you.
Right.
You bring them up the best you can. The only thing that you can do for them is bring them to the house.
Right.
Bring them to the house.
Yeah.
You bring them here, but there are different types of people. And everybody can't receive this. Everybody is not ordained to see this. And while we would love to save our family, love to save the world, love to save everybody, love for everybody to be a part of this, love, 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 we would love this, but the reality of it is that you aren't going to be able to do it because it's not yours to do. You'll do the best you can, and I ask you to do the best you can. Bring your kids to church. Put them in Sunday school. Come and be a part of church yourself. Come and hear the word of God. Come and let God talk to you. Come and be a part of this thing. I ask you to do that. I don't hold you back. I don't try to be like some pope or something, and me up here doing all this stuff, and y'all sitting back here watching me do the communion and bread and all that smoke and all that stuff. I ain't doing it. I want you to be involved.
Right.
Because it's just as much as your salvation as it is mine. And I'm not here to be a advocate or a go-between between you and God. You got to have God for yourself. And if you don't have God for yourself, there is nothing I can do for you. So here in this parable that Jesus was bringing forth, he was trying to show us that everybody wasn't going to be saved.
Right.
He was trying to let us know that don't worry about it when they don't pick it up, because everybody's not going to pick it up. Right. Everybody's not ordained to pick it up. Some people come here for the wrong reasons. Some come because they were raised here. Some come because their boyfriend's here. Some come because their family goes to this church, so they should go too. So those are no reasons for you to try to be saved. Those are not reasons that are going to hold you when the times get rough, when troubles come your way, when trials come, when your friends ask you about this hope that lies within you and you don't have an answer for them. That's not going to hold you. You need something that's going to hold you day in, day out, good, bad, whatever happens, whatever comes your way. You need something that's going to be solid. Something that nobody can take away. See, the thing about a revelation is you can't take a revelation away from me. When I get a revelation, you can't undo that. You'll never be able to convince me that God ain't real. You'll never convince me that we haven't had a prophet. You'll never convince me that this word ain't the truth. You'll never do that. Because I have my own personal revelation. God has personally spoken to me and let me know for myself. If you all walk away, I'll still stand here because I have come from God and I'm going back to God. Jesus said some people come here and when the sword, and the thing about it, the giver of life sold life to us all. That's why Cain was given. He was given to Eve by God. People get confused. They see that shows that he was Adam's son. No, it doesn't. That shows he had life. God's the only giver of life. And so all men have life, whether you have a seed of God or not. Even the unbeliever's life comes from God. So the sower goes forth and he sows life to everybody.
Amen.
He gives everybody a measure of faith. Every man has a measure. Some of them got so little that they don't even believe there's a God. But he was the sower. And when he went out, he gave life to all. He ain't hold back. You know, he could have made it if you weren't a seed of God, that he wouldn't give you life. He could have took care of that at your birth. But you know what funny is about? Because he was building a church, he had to let it grow. Because believers came from unbelievers.
Right.
Wow.
Wow.
The life had to go through human nature to bring us down through the ages to get us to the place where a believer could even be born. See, God didn't just have all of Adam's children physically come from Adam. And some people think, well, I'm from the lineage of Adam. See, they thought they were a big deal coming from Abraham because they were trying to follow the natural lineage. But it wasn't the natural lineage that was important. And Jesus tried to let them know that because they were thinking because I'm Abraham's seed that we're fine. But Jesus said, no, no, no. I don't care if you're Abraham's seed. It's faith. Abraham's seed was faith's seed. And you're thinking and trying to follow the natural lineage. God used the natural lineage to get the real seed here.
Amen.
And so God had to let them go. He could have killed them at their birth if they weren't his seed. He knew when they were born. Because remember, God puts pieces of him in you at your natural birth. He does that then. He's not waiting to see, well, is she going to give her heart to God? Is he going to come to the altar? He ain't worried about that. He already knows who loves him. He already knows who will go all the way. He already knows who will believe his word. And so when you were naturally born, God put a little bit of himself in you because that was the only thing he wanted out of that whole mess. He didn't want your flesh, he didn't want your spirit, and he didn't want your soul. Clarice got mad at me one time when we got married because I was trying to change stuff. I was changing this, changing that, changing. One day she looked at me and said, why did you even marry me if you don't like anything about me? You're changing everything. Well, that's the way Lord did. When you come here, he didn't want your flesh, spirit, or soul. He just put a little bit of himself in you. And when he put a little bit of himself in you and he killed the old you, then he can start bringing himself out of you. And what he brought out of you is what he wanted all the time. What a husband wants out of a wife is not what she's bringing to the table, but what he produces with what he gives her. You say, you male chauvinist. I'm just telling you how it works. The husband brings it to the wife, and she produces it. And what she produces, she turns and gives back to the husband. Sounds like a birth to me. That's how the children are born. I don't have birth pains. I don't have to carry a child 9 months. I don't have to get all stretched out of shape. I walk around, what's wrong with you? Come on, Clarice, we gotta go. Come on. And she. But what she is producing is what I wanted her for. It's of me. It come from me. It's a part of me. And it's not all about the works and all about the things you can bring. You say, oh, I got a big checkbook. So what? That money will be gone before you hit 20. I got a job. Well, that'll last until you get pregnant. I didn't marry Clarice for a job because when she had her first kid, she came home from work. Never did go back. So I didn't marry for her job. I didn't marry for her money. That's a definite. I didn't marry her. Let's see. She was cooking a chicken upside down. Because she didn't know. I'm just telling you how marriage starts. What you're offering, what I wanted out of Clarice, what she loved God, I love God, and we would make a good couple together to serve God. That's what it was. I went about her little Datsun, that little yellow car you had. I wasn't caring about that. She wanted to serve God, and I wanted to serve God. That's what we built our relationship on. That's what we built our home on. And when we did that, she started producing back to me what I wanted to produce and give back to God. You're looking for a spouse? Find somebody that loves God. Find somebody. Don't worry about what they do or their job or, oh, I'm not going to mention no names, but at one time, somebody wanted, I think, something about my memory is really weird. I'm not even going to look because I'll embarrass them. I'll look this way and I'll say it because I know they'll look at me cross-eyed. They wanted somebody that had red hair, long, lump, something, I forget, something like that. That's what they said they wanted. That's what they were trying to get. That's what their plan was. And I was like, all right. Did they get it? No, they didn't get it. But what they did get was somebody that loves God. What they did get was somebody that put God first. What they did get was somebody that has shared this word with them. And that makes the best home ever. Don't worry about the color of their hair. His hair or hers either. Don't worry about how many muscles he has or lack thereof. You find a mate that has a love of God in them. Somebody where the word has got into some good ground. Somebody that's not just here for a moment. Somebody that's here for a flash in a pan. Somebody that's here that's in and out of church, up and down, and here one day and gone the next. You better find somebody. You say, well, I want a husband. Well, you better find somebody that has good roots. Somebody that's got good ground. Somebody who's solid, that really loves God. I'm not talking about these fly-by-nights. And you say, well, what if they look good and then you marry them and then they turn out they're no good? That's in every home. It's a toss of the coin with whoever you get. It is. Because you don't know what she's thinking, and she don't know what you're thinking. She says she loves God, and I say I love God. So she says she loves me, and I say I love her. So upon those bases, we develop a relationship. That's the best you can do. I've seen good homes, people you never thought would leave the church, split up and leave. So there ain't no guarantee. I've seen people leave here after they've been here for 20 years. So I don't worry about, so you're waiting for what? What kind of sign are you looking for? You better look for somebody who loves the word. That should be your first question. Do you love Jesus? And even if they say yes, you're still taking a chance. How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to be out there just hovering? Well, yeah, they're going to come sooner or later. No, you better start looking around and saying, who loves God around this place?
Watch her first.
Yeah, watch her. Watch her for a long time. And watch him for a long time. That's what dating's about. You find somebody and then you look them over. But you know, I'm not even for long dates. I ain't no matchmaker. But I'm not for long dating either.
No, right.
Because you get too much time, you get too much trouble.
Right.
So the first, before you're dating, you look to see if they love God.
Right.
Before you date, you find out if they love God.
Amen.
If AJ didn't love God, he wouldn't have got Kara. Nobody. First you find out whether they love God. And then if they love God, then you ask yourself, are we even compatible to be in the same house? Because some people aren't compatible to be in the same house. You know, Clarice and I are different as night and day. She loves art. It puts me to sleep. I love fishing. I love Kings Island. She's like, don't even get me a ticket. Don't waste your money. So it's not about all the stuff that the world's making. I'm trying to get you focused on what you, if you really want to mate, if you really want to mate, first find out if they love God. And I'm not talking about dragging somebody in for a week and saying, hallelujah, they came to church with me. I'm talking about somebody that's tried, tested, and true. Somebody stood a little test. Somebody's been pressurized. Somebody's been through the fire. Somebody has stood the test. Then you're talking about, okay. And even then, you're taking a chance. You're taking a chance that, let me tell you. I'll get back to this. You're taking a chance with anybody you get.
Amen.
You are. That's why our house has two doors. Clarice gets cross-eyed, and I'm going out the other one. It's like, no. You're taking a chance with whoever you get. But you don't want to stop living just because you don't want to take a chance. That's what a home is built on. I didn't know I knew Clarice couldn't cook when I first married her. Because we eat together. But she learned. See, the things you're looking at are adjustable. I couldn't do a lot of things either. I didn't know how to build nothing. I couldn't know how to fix nothing. Something breaking in the house. Uh-oh. I didn't know nothing. It wasn't all Clarice. I was just as green as could be. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to fix nothing, do nothing. Me, man, you, woman, that didn't work in our house. It's like, We got there, we had to work and fix that place because that place was full of roaches. The grass was awful. The bushes in front of the house. When I got the house, it was a mess. And we had to get out and roll our sleeves up together and do it. But we did it. But you take chances with anybody. But what you really want, you want somebody that's got good ground. Because if got good ground, then the roots of the plants and the fruits that they bring, they'll last. You don't want none of these others, these fly-by-nights. It says, and when he sowed the seed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. They didn't last a week. They can come and they ain't got nothing to do with God. You don't want anybody who doesn't want this message. You say, well, I can make it work. I know you can. Water in your vein. That's what comes to mind. You don't want to just grab up somebody out here in the world. I know. I told God. I said, God, if I don't marry by 25, I ain't getting married. Because I was looking around and I didn't see nobody in the church that I really wanted to date and look at. And in the world, I wasn't even looking out there. They don't have nothing to offer. So I was looking around the church and 23, 24. I got to 25 and said, well, I got married at 25. But you want to find somebody who's got some roots. The thing I loved about Clarice the most was that she loved God. And I never, never, never wanted to take that away from her. I wanted her to be free to love God, just like the church. I don't want y'all tied up here, me, the pastor, and y'all sitting out there and everybody just watching me. No, I want you to be free. I believe in freedom in serving God. You don't want one of these fly-by-nights that then the seed gets dropped and the bird come and get on. They don't last a day. Some fell upon stony places, but it didn't have much earth. Didn't have much about them. They come in here, muscles. The girls bring these guys in. They come in here with muscles. You talk to them, it's like they're airhead. They don't have nothing inside that brain. Oh, they got the arms and the legs and they're muscly and all that, but it's like you talk to them, it's like they don't have nothing to them.
Right.
And then you look at the sister and say, sis, what is with this guy? Oh, he brings me flowers. He takes me to the movies. He treats me like, do you know he even opens the car door for me? He forgets to close it, but he opens it, and I don't have much to do. I was like, get away from that guy. But don't try to just pull somebody into church just so you can get married. Because that never works. These fly-by-nights, they don't have nothing to them. There's people come in, come and go, just a little bit. Some fell, they don't have no roots, fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, nothing to them. And when it sprung up, because they had no depthness, they never got to the deep part of the word. They never understood. See, the thing is, you got to stay here long enough. You got to stay here long enough to learn. Our sister's been here, what? How y'all been here about a year or so? Think like that, and you've been sitting here listening, 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 listening. Then all of a sudden, one day, oh, I understand. That's how it works. That's how the revelation works. You don't time it. It's not a time thing. Some people can sit here for years, and then finally it dawns on them. Crystal's told you, she said, I sat here for a long time. She said, I have my Baptist background. Y'all heard her. I ain't telling you that. She ain't already told y'all.
Right.
I ain't throwing her under the bus. She said, I sat here a long time. And I knew it. I watched her. And she was back and cordial and courteous. And she was, because she's been taught to be kind. But she didn't understand. But then somewhere, I don't know when, was somewhere that quiet, courteous little Crystal, something happened under the hood. And she come out of that shell, she's like, whoa, I've been coming here, but now, whoa, I understand now, whoa. And Warren's like, thank you, Lord. Because Warren's like, I got a good one. But she got roots. She got something that stabilized her. Do you know, until you go through something, your roots won't even go deep? You got to go through a church split. You got to go through a problem with a sister. You got to go through a problem with a brother. You got to go through something. And once you go through something and you get rocked a little bit, what you're rocking does is drives your roots deeper if you're good ground. If you got a little something in you, it's going to make you stronger. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, what it says. You go deeper in the Word. What happens when I go through troubles and trials? It causes me to dive into the Word of God because I got to get an answer. I got to figure this out. I can't just sit here and suffer. I don't have just shallow roots. Oh, no, I'm going to be here. I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree that's planted by the water. You know why they chose a tree by the waters? Because the roots go real deep than those trees.
Amen.
Some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them out. They got problems. Brother Brown said, we'll be sticky. We'll be sticky, y'all. You think because you're in church, you ain't going to get stuck. Well, y'all laughing. Y'all must have gotten stuck by your brother or your sister. Ah, now we're talking. See, sometimes people get stuck and the thorns rolls up and sticks them. And first thing they do is hit the door. I ain't going to that church. You know, it is not about your brother or your sister. It's about the Word of God. I'm not here for you. I'm not here for what I can get from you. I'm not here to try to get you to treat me any old way. I'm here for the Word of God. If I have to step over every one of you thorny people to get here, I will be here. I'm going to stand and crush those thorns. Some people don't can't take nothing. This is a generation of hothouse plants. They can't take nothing. You call them something, get offended.
Yeah.
We get offended over anything and over everything. And I can't take nothing, can't handle nothing. Oh, we're about ready to kill each other over this election. It's just crazy. This world is lost. And then at work, you can't say nothing or you're going to HR. Oh, I was in HR so much. I didn't know. I just know to tell you like it is. And I was in the office more in Miami Valley. I guess yeah. I shouldn't say who's there. All right, they all, Nate, what'd you say? I just did nothing. All I did was told she to put some clothes on because she can't work in this air condition like that. Hurt her feelings. You hurt her feelings. She's got rights. Everybody's got rights. Everybody's got feelings. And we're so hothouse on everything that you can't even talk about a subject to everybody's up in arms. Can't talk about the blacks. Can't talk about the whites. I don't understand. This thing is so cockeyed. And then people are listening on the internet to see what they can find out. And we had people in the masses get in trouble because of what they read about what Brother Branham said in the 60s. He called him a colored man. He's not a colored man. He's a black man. He's an African American. Everybody's so sensitive about everything. You can't talk about a subject. You can't even talk about what's right or wrong. You can't talk about God. You can't even talk about God. You would think the whole country would want you to talk about God. They don't even want you to talk about God. I feel uncomfortable. They don't want to talk about, now they don't even want to talk about the slavery time in history because it makes the whites feel uncomfortable. What's up with that? The blacks were uncomfortable when they were going through it. The whole world is just rotten. The blacks are wrong, the whites are wrong, the Asians are wrong, the Indians are wrong. Like Brother Byers just say, throw them all in a bag, shake them up and pour them out. They come out the same. You got just as many precious blacks as you do whites. Y'all done made me preach so much I forgot my notes. It doesn't give me a few minutes. I got to get over here and I got to keep it moving. But you got to find somebody who's got some roots in them. Somebody's got a little backbone about them. Somebody can take a little bit. Don't be so wimpy. Come on, you're a believer. You trust God. You don't trust your own thinking. You don't even trust your own judgment. Brother Children said, if I make a decision and it's wrong, I'll make another one. That's how you got to live. That's a believer for you. It ain't going to make me any less than who I am. I'll make a decision for a wife. If it's the wrong one, I'll make another decision. You're the wrong one, Clarice. It happens. And I don't care how much you're trying to not think about it, it happens.
Right.
Christians get divorced.
Right.
They're human. The world's a mess. So you need to find somebody that's rooted and grounded in the truth. You need to be somebody that's rooted and grounded in the truth. And don't waste your life away alone just because you're scared of everybody. Amen, ma'am. Life's a gamble. Getting in your car to drive to church is a gamble. Sitting in the church is a gamble. Some crazy nut, any church in the world, coming here with a gun. It's a gamble coming out of your house. It's a gamble going to the grocery. And you're going to say, well, I'm going to not do anything. You better do something. Don't go through this life alone just because you're scared to live. Live your life. Don't be bound by, don't be scared by the devil.
Amen.
Greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. I got too many scriptures to be scared to do anything. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't walk around here in fear. Fear is torment. Don't torment yourself. But find somebody that has the word. It says, but others fell on good ground. And listen what happens. Now, this is how you tell somebody's on good ground. Now, you're going, well, you never know who's right. You never know when. Shut up. He tells us, I'm sorry, I don't like using that word. He tells us how to be able to find the right one. How do you know somebody who is good ground? How do you know? There is a way. Now, he described to you all those other people. They didn't stick around. They fell away, or they walked off, or they fainted. Or they in church, but they're like, they're too scared to leave and too scared to stay. But there are good ground people. And listen what happens when you find somebody that's in good ground. Now, pay attention. Others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. By their works. You know them. You watch them. What kind of fruit they offering? You say, oh, okay. This person loves God. How do you know that? I can see it. They're in church. They're involved. They want to be right. They're trying to do the right thing. They messed up, but oh, I see. They got back up. Okay. You know that's fruits too. People think fruits are only to give it out cake and ice cream. No. Fruits is when I follow my face and I get back up and still serve God. You can see that God's in there because I overcome not only you, but I overcome myself. Oh, I should be a fruit inspector in this hour. I should be able to look across the congregation and find, oh, yeah, I'm looking.
Amen.
I watch your fruit all the time. I watch how you do it. I watch how you deal with the word all the time. I watch how you deal with each other all the time. I watch everything. I don't miss nothing. I watch it all. I'm a fruit inspector. I look at all these things. And that's why when they come to me with these little boys and they say, we want to get married. I was like, no. I don't see no fruit. There's nothing there. On him or her. I'm looking. And I've been looking a long time, so don't act like I don't know what I'm doing. If you doubt if it's a good person or not, ask me. Ask me. That's what Kara did. That's what I did. Yeah, I ain't telling you something I didn't do. I took Brother Childers down in the valley. I still remember where we were standing when I asked him. I said, Brother Childers, I'm thinking about. I'm just thinking about this.
Right.
I'm thinking about asking Clarice to marry me. What do you think? Now, had he told me, let me tell you about Clarice. She ain't gonna make it. She don't have no roots. She is shallow. Matter of fact, she's built on a rock. I'm like, okay, thank you very much. I will just take that ring back.
Right.
Now, I didn't say I'm taking it back from her because I didn't give it to her. I had it at my house. Had he said she wouldn't make a good wife for me, she'd have never even known I was coming her way.
Right.
I'd have taken that thing back to the jewelry store and got my $1.99 back so quick. You know I don't spend no money. I'm wearing the same ring. This thing will be 40 years old next year. I think I might need another one. I think it was kind of... I don't mind. You know, it's like, Jay, you see that diamond? $1.99. Buy one, get one free. But she would have never got it if Brother Childers had told me she's not the one. You know what? I would have said, it ain't happening. And to show you, I wouldn't even hurt her feelings because I would have never even made her feel like she was jilted by me. I was looking out for her feelings. But if you don't know what to do, come ask me. I'll tell you what to do. If she's a dud, I'll let you know. If he's a dud, because, you know, sometimes we men, we feel like we're all that. There's duds all over the place. But you want somebody that's bringing forth fruit. Somebody's involved with the church. Somebody's really serving God. I wanted Clarice because she was really serving God. Yeah, it's like, you got to see this. You got to know that. Watch the fruit. Watch what they produce. And then once you see that, then you'll know that that's a real son or daughter of God. They brought forth fruit. Some a hundredfold. Some of them are on fire. Some of them got it all the way. Some of them are preachers. Some are 60-fold. And some are 30. But they all something. They're producing fruit. Your apple tree might not be an apple tree full of apples, but it should at least have one. Come on, give me something. Bring something to the table. You know, don't just come to church and sit here. Come on. Give me some fruit here. Come on. You know what Jesus did when he passed a tree that didn't have no fruit on it? You thought you was safe. Because I ain't going to deal with y'all. But you got to have fruit. And it's got to be fruit that can be seen. Some people want to serve God and don't want to change nothing in their life. Then there's no fruit. How do we know that God's in there if your life never changed? That's what I say. You're born again, your life will change. I don't have to tell you what to do. I don't have to tell you how to dress. I don't have to tell you how to live. I'll tell you stop cussing, stop doing this, stop doing that. All I got to do is just watch. You watch a tree long enough, and it will produce fruit.
Right.
Oh, it might take him all summer. But before the winter, it's going to bring that fruit out. You say, what kind of tree is that? I don't know. Just let it grow. Leave it alone. After a while, it's going to produce something.
Right.
What kind of tree are you? It will show.
Amen.
You say, I don't have to do nothing. No, you don't.
That's right.
You don't have to. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. The days of trying to make people believers and Christians are over.
Right.
If you want to be filthy, Oh, y'all know that scripture. If you want to be holy, if you want to do the right things, you're going to do it. If you don't want to do the right things, don't even worry your pretty little mind. Because I know you're going to be one of these. You're going to fall in here somewhere. If you don't have no fruit, if you never grow long enough to get fruit, you either the thorns got you or you were on a rock and the first wind blew you over because you didn't have no roots. But then if you hang around long enough and you never change, never produce, never grow, you're the same, you might be thinking to yourself, ha, I'm the same as I've always been.
Wow, right.
That is not a good thing. A person that's tall as a 2-year-old and they're 40. Something's wrong. They might be sitting there thinking, I'm all that. You're like, did anybody tell you? And that's why we sometimes sit in church thinking we got all this going on. I'm all this. I'm all that. And stunning growth. You should be moving as the word moves. You should be growing as the word grows. As the word produces. Because you know this word is moving. Oh, this word is moving. I know a lot more now than I knew in January. And if you say, well, I'm the same. You should be producing fruit. And I don't even tell you what, kind of fruit to produce. Whatever's in you is going to come out.
Right.
If it's an apple tree, you aren't going to produce pears. If you're a pear tree, you ain't going to produce apples. So I just want you to grow.
Yeah, right.
And then whatever fruit you are, I don't want all apple trees. I want some orange trees. I want some lemons. God don't have just one apple tree, just all apples. Y'all may not know this, but those bananas y'all eating that you get from Kroger's or Fresh Thyme, as Clary Slice the Shop, those bananas, this is just one kind of banana. There are many varieties of bananas. When I went to the Philippines, they had those little bitty short ones. Well, they're sweet too. They had all these, they're like, these bananas. I'm like, I was shocked the first time I went. I'm like, you mean those big yellow things that, oh no, that's just one kind, and that's not even the best. The reason we get those is because they're best for travels, and they pick them while they're green, and they come travel well. They last longer, especially when they spray them with that stuff. But there's a variety of bananas. God has a variety of trees. He don't want us all apples in here. He wants a variety of people, a variety of fruits, a variety, but there will be fruits.
Amen.
If you don't have fruits, see verses above. Justify it all you want.
Right.
No, my nature is, well, I don't like to. Well, I'm shy. Well, I don't need to say it because sister said it. Well, brother said it, so I don't need to. Well, there's enough of them up there, so I'm not going. Oh, well, I don't need to be involved, and because I don't want to take up the time. Am I hitting all of them? Those are all the reasons you don't have no fruit. Because you use all those reasons to figure out why you don't need to do anything. And I'm looking saying, I need to do something. Oh, you know why I don't get nervous at service? Because I know I own the place. I close out every service. Y'all might hoot and holler and walk the aisles and shake hands and hug and all. And I'm like, all right. Get y'all on. Because then it comes my time. And don't you dare look at your watch. I will get my fruit out. I will express myself. I never go home feeling like, oh, I should have said something. No. No. So I've arranged the service so that I close every service. There's a little meaning behind that. So So, but you should be involved. You should come here with your fresh fruit. Like Isaiah said, oh, I hate to take the time, but I read this and I wanted to share it. I said to myself, that means he's been reading this Bible. That's fruit. Now, he wasn't doing this show. Matter of fact, he didn't even know he was going to be a part of the message today. But he was just so excited about the Word of God. And I'm like, that's fruit. That's what I'm looking for. Talk all you want about how much you love God. And if there's nothing on that tree but leaves, and those leaves, Brother Branham said, those leaves are just noisemakers. When the wind blows, the leaves. But give me some fruit. Tell me what God's showing you. Tell me what he's doing to you. Tell me how good he was with the last couple of services. How can you come here today and not want to say anything? I'm asking me that for you. How could I actually come to church today and in my mind already know I'm not going to raise my hand. I'm not going to sing a song. I'm not going to say amen. Nobody will ever hear my voice. If I say amen, I'm going to go. And don't try hallelujah. It's just, no, you come here already in your mind. Like Kevin said, you got to die to you.
Amen.
Lay that thinking down. Forget about your personality. Forget about your makeup. I'm a shy guy. I don't like being in public. I don't like being in front of people. I don't like doing speeches. I'm horrible at those things. But yet somehow you feel like you can come here and not do nothing. I got to come here and do everything. That seems a little unbalanced. Well, I'm trying to shake your thinking because I'm dealing with people who are good ground. I'm not dealing with the world. I'm not dealing with the ones that are just in and out of here. I'm dealing with y'all have been here for a while. And I'm looking at all y'all as good dirt. So if y'all are in good dirt and you're getting fed water of the word and the sun, S-O-N, is shining on you, then there should produce something.
Amen.
Outside of a dead tree, you will produce. Because it's just in us to reproduce ourselves.
Amen.
It's just in a tree to reproduce itself. You don't have to go and tell an apple tree, you know, it's the spring of the year. In a couple of months, I'm going to be looking for apples, and I really appreciate if you would give. No, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to fight those bees off and fight those things that stings those apples. That's why Don had to take care of his trees and spray them and do all that. He don't do it because the apples are coming. No matter what the trials are, the apples are coming. A real tree that's alive will produce even if the apples come out with knots on them. That's still fruit. I don't care if you come up here and have knots on you. It's still producing the fruit. We want to hear what God's doing for you. I'm talking about good ground. I'm talking about somebody that God can use. Because everybody can't do this. Some do 100, some do 60, some do 30. See, that's why God's not even he's not all 100%. Hey, you know, we all understand everybody has their job and their percentage. But you should have a percentage. If yours is zero, if yours has been zero for the year, I check my roots. Make sure I'm not on a rock. Make sure that I'm not upset over something somebody's done or somebody else has done that's caused me not to be able to get in. I start looking. I said, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And if you don't have that answer, look, same answer I told that young man and that woman, young woman. Come see me. Come see me. I can fix it. I can tell you exactly. I'm also a doctor, you know.
Amen.
I can tell you what else. You got trouble? Come see me. I got that prescription. I'll give you a prescription. And then you say, well, I don't understand it, Brother Moore. I come to church. I love the word. I believe the word. You do? I don't disagree with any of it. So what I just said, you agreed with. Yeah, then change. If you don't agree with what I said, then we got a different subject. Yeah, I'll take you back up to those verses above verse 8. See where you fall in. Because God didn't save any of you to sit here like a bump on a log. He's got lively stones. He's got a living bride, a living church. He's got a group of people that win the word. No matter how I throw it out there, they just sup it up. No matter how it's served up. You say, well, I don't like that preacher. It ain't about the preacher. Is he telling you the truth? I said, like that sister told me that time. Sister so-and-so said this about me. I didn't say, why, that no good sister. She just, I said, was it true?
Right.
Well, if it's true, then there's no problem there. That sister just was being honest with you. She wasn't picking on you. She's just telling you the truth.
Right.
And if it's true, change it. If it's not truth, like Brother Cho said, just don't be guilty.
Right.
See, it's real easy answers to all these problems that we think are so great and so massive. And it's not that deep. And it's funny because only those in the good ground can receive the revelation.
Right.
So if you have received a revelation from God, you ought to feel like, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I'm a believer. Sis said, I didn't understand and now I understand. I'm a believer.
Right.
I believe this. I actually understand this.
Right.
And this isn't rocket science. We've made it harder. We make it harder. But as soon as we give up our thinking, God can just come in there and just bless you. And then now when the word comes forth, you just like Clary said, I take some of that, I take some of that, take some of that. Golly, there's nothing that I can throw out there that y'all don't want to eat. You come to church ready, got your plate ready, got to go. And you come in bearing fruit. Oh, last service was amazing. Wednesday night, Jay just tore the place down and he said this and this and this. I got so enthused that I had to come back because I read the scriptures after I went home. Amazing. Fruit, 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 all over the place. And he's saying, I ain't doing nothing. You ain't doing nothing. You're manifesting the word of God right in front of our eyes.
Right.
And because you're doing that, the whole world can see your fruit. They don't have to ask if you, what kind of tree. You know, I can see an apple tree from a distance. I can tell a lemon tree from a distance. I can see an orange tree because you can see it just driving by. When I go to Florida to the earliest they used to have before the storm, they had a nice little grapefruit tree. And I'd go down there and we'd pick grapefruits off the tree and eat them. You can tell them from a distance. You see them. They're big and they're yellow and they're beautiful. And it's the same with us. If you have fruit, you don't have to get up here and tell me, I have apples here. Ah, hallelujah, I'm a good Christian. I'm a good believer. God's got... No, you don't have to do all that. We'll see it. You just let it express itself out through you. Because Jesus told them they got upset with Jesus. The disciples, they just never could get it. They said, Jesus, why in the world are you talking to them in parables? And they're like, why don't you just talk to them like you talk to us? And see, and that's what people don't understand. I don't change my message when visitors come or when people come. I preach the same message, but only those in good ground can pick it up. Only those with an ear to hear can pick it up. Everybody else will find reasons and faults and everything else. Oh, the church is too small. Y'all don't have enough people. Y'all don't have a choir. Your choir you have, oh, I don't like it. Or your song leader, oh, it's... They'll find a reason. Because they're shallow. They don't know the depths of the word. That's why I keep saying, just keep coming. You keep coming. If you're good ground and you keep coming, I guarantee you. That's what his word says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to wait and tarry and hope it's going to happen. No, you follow the prescription and you will get the results. He promised. He said, for those who hath, to him shall be given. See, you have to have representation. You have to come from God. For you to believe what you believe today, you have to actually come from God. You're good ground. For God to put his word in you is good ground. Don't sell yourself short. Shout it from the housetop. Let everybody know. Don't be ashamed of this thing. Let everybody know who you are. Because you come from God and you're going to God. You belong to God. You're a part of God. And you're proud to be the Word of God made flesh. I'm not ashamed of who I am. When people don't get me, I don't judge myself and say, am I wrong or did I do something wrong? It's your problem because you didn't have an ear to hear. You didn't have an eye to see. You didn't have a discernment to understand the Lord's body. I see the Lord's body. I see the Word made flesh. I see what God's doing. I see the hour we're living in. It is given unto me to understand these mysteries because I come from God and I'm going to God. I couldn't miss this thing if I slapped myself upside the head and threw it against the wall. I couldn't miss it if I died in my sleep. I couldn't miss it if I fell on my face. I couldn't miss it if I didn't ever darken the doors again. Because I come from God. I'm good ground. He put his seed in me. I am eternal. I'm a part of God. I'm bearing his fruit. Amen. He said, well, you say you don't have to come back to church. No, I don't have to. But my fruit is that I will. Amen. I don't know what's wrong with these young people. They think they can go home and have the Holy Ghost. You don't have no Holy Ghost. You think you're going to? No, read this chapter 13th of Matthew. It'll show you exactly where you're sitting. People act like they don't know how to read the Bible. I'm going to jump real quick because I see it. I looked up since 12 o'clock. I got to close, but I ain't even opened. But I'm gonna jump down here. I'm skipping. I'm not even going to. No, we ain't going there. I'm just going to jump down to Matthew 13, starting at verse 18. Now, if you have trouble understanding what I just said, let's just jump down to verse 18 and let Jesus tell you. Maybe you'll believe him. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then comes the wicked one and catches it away, that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. I don't know about this mess. You've been sitting on this thing for how long? And you don't know if you believe it. If you don't believe it, he's going to come. You know what? Give yourself a year. You'll believe less in a year than you do right now. Give yourself 2 years. You'll believe less then. That's the way it works. The devil comes and pulls that out of you. First, it was important to be in the house of God. You know how the devil gets you out of the house of God? First, he makes it not important.
Right.
Or I can be there, or I cannot. Or I can come, or I don't have to. Or I can come, but I can come late. Or I can come later, or I can leave early. I have people leave early. You know, they don't want to shake my hand when they leave, so they leave early. I know. They think I don't see it. I know. But that's how the devil works on you. He's trying to get you out from under the word. And he's trying to make you a weak Christian. And when he can get you out from under the word, you will be a weak Christian. You say, well, I'll listen on the internet. If your heart is to be at home instead of in the house of God, then God will not bless your internet.
Amen.
You'll get weaker listening to me. Because it's not just about me. It's about fulfilling the word of God. He said, forget not. He said, gather yourself together even that much more. Our young people and our old people are going home and staying home for no reason. You ask them why they're doing it. I don't know. I was talking to somebody the other day. They said, you know, they're trying to convince me. You know, this generation is different. I said, no, it's not. I said, the word of God is the same.
Right.
I said, try to justify in their mind. Well, this generation, we have problems, and we have trust issues, and we have these, and we've got that. I'm like, no, the word of God's the same. It's always been the same, and always will be the same, so don't give me that.
Right.
Read Matthew 13.
Right.
They never got it into their soul. They heard it. They did not understand it. See, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not.
Yeah.
When you don't have an understanding, the devil can pull it out of you. He'll come and take it away from you.
Right.
And you will be standing on nothing. But he, verse 20, that receiveth the seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy received it. They act like they loved it.
Yeah.
Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. He sticks around a year, 10, 20, 30. You can stick around here for 40 years and not be born again. See, the thing is, this is not a game, church. You know yourself if you're good ground. Because if you're good ground, you're receiving the word of God. And if you're not receiving the word, you can sit here all you want. Yet hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation, a persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended. They only last so long. I've seen them walk out of here after 20 plus years. And you think, well, I thought they were ready for the journey. But turn around and walk away from the word. And then they go home or wherever they go, and they still talk the message. They still talk the Bible. They still show up in places where the church goes. They still do things and still think they're okay. They're not okay. He also that receiveth seed amongst the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. There's a tree that's just a tree.
Right.
You don't have no fruit on him. He's cursed. The fruit is representing the word of the hour.
Right.
That's the fruit.
Right.
By your fruit, you'll know them. Representing the word of the hour is what you have to offer. That's all you have to give. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, that's us, and understandeth. Oh, I didn't understand, and now I understand. I didn't know it, now I know it. I got a revelation. I got an understanding. Those are the ones that have good ground. And understand it, which also bear the fruit. Oh, you don't have to tell me you got fruit. I can see it from a distance. And bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. That's us. That is the group that God is planting his seed in, the good ground. And you say, well, I haven't been very strong. Well, now you see, you can be stronger. I haven't been very vocal. You need to be vocal. I didn't understand, but I do now, but now I see I'm a part of this thing. When you see that you're a part of it, I don't want the body to move that I'm not with them. I don't want the body to sing that I'm not with them. I don't want them to play a song that I'm not a part of it. I don't want this church to do anything that I don't be a part of it. I've been a part of this thing for a long time, and I feel like I'm just getting started. But when it's in good ground, the tree cannot grow big enough. The roots cannot go deep enough. The fruit cannot be barren enough. You can't bear enough fruit. You can't do enough for this thing. And it happens because of who we are, not because of what we're doing, not because of what I'm requiring you to do. See, I said from the beginning, the whole thing of salvation, we got it twisted, and we're trying to force people to do things that it's not even in them to do. I'm not trying to make y'all serve God. If you want to serve God, serve Him. If you don't, then go about your business. Days for trying to bring you to the altar and convince you that God is real. It's over.
Right.
If you don't hear it now, if you don't see it now, if you're not bearing fruits now, then I wonder when you're going to start. God's looking for good ground. I'm looking for good ground. I'm looking for people who can hear this thing and say, my goodness, this is right.
Right.
My goodness, I understand it. And do you have to understand everything? No, I didn't say that. God never asked you to understand it all. He asked you to believe it all. When you hear it preached, you should be able to identify with it and believe it all. And we should be bearers of fruit. Gotta be, will be. No way around it. Say, I don't have to do this. No, you don't. And I'm not going to follow around and say, Jay, you need to testify. Jay, you need to testify. Come on, Jay. You know you need to testify. Come on. You know you need to testify. Now, Jay, I ain't heard you in 6 months. Come on, Jay. Wait something wrong. I got to do that. If he wants to sit and dry rot on that bench. That's him. If you want to sit and dry rot on the bench because of your personality, because of your makeup, because of your, oh, I've been hurt. Sister Clary's hurt my feelings the last time I got up 20 years ago. Thorns. I'm looking for good ground. That's all I care about. You can be as shallow as you want. You can be thorny as you want. You can take this thing light. You can take what I'm telling you this morning lightly. I'm just telling you what the Word says. It's upon you to find out what kind of ground you are. What do you do when the Word comes across your path? Do you surrender to it, or do you justify your own tradition and stay the same as you've always been?
Right.
And you know what? If you stay the same, we'll all know it.
Right.
We'll all know it. Yeah. We may not say it. That's why I sometimes switch y'all seats around. Because y'all get so, you can almost have indented places in the seat. Let me put it that way. Because you sat there so many years. I had to say it just right because this is an international. But if you don't shake yourself. See, this is an hour. We're not babying here now. We're not going to try to convince you that you need to serve God. If you don't want to serve God, that's on you. That ain't on me. I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying this walk. I'm enjoying this journey. I'm enjoying this message. I get a thrill out of every service. I love the Word of God. I enjoy giving out the fruit of the tree that I have. Here, have another one. Have another one. You know, you pick that one, I'll produce another one. You'll never get the last bit of my fruit. Some people act like there's a shortage. But God's planting His Word in good ground. Y'all know, I ain't even got started. That's just the first scripture, and I'm going to close because it's 12 o'clock. But God wants good ground. He wants your ground to be good. And only you can find out whether your ground's good or not. I can guess. I'm a pretty good guesser, too. But you know for sure. You know for sure that he's there or he's not. You know for sure if there's fruit coming off your tree. You know for sure if you're sharing it. If you ain't giving me no apple in 10 years, you don't have to tell me you ain't sharing. I don't even need you to stand up and tell me, you know what, I'm not sharing my fruit. I knew that before you knew that. God wants you to be good ground. He wants to have somebody that he can trust, somebody that he can depend on to be here when he comes. Somebody that's not wishy-washy, in and out. Do you know that all the rest of them fall away? That's why I only preach to believers. Brother Branham said, and I got the quote, don't have time, 3 types of believers in every congregation. But the only problem is only one of them stay. The unbeliever gets upset and leaves. The make-believer tries to hang around. They hang around long enough, but they ain't going to do nothing. But the true believer, that's good ground. Those are the ones God's dealing with. Those are the ones that I want to be with. Those are the ones I want to be involved with. Those are the ones I'm preaching to. And if you're out there and you're a part of that good ground, thank God. If you're good ground and you just let things get in the way and you let problems keep you and hold you back and you feel like this morning that you could do better, then do it. Now we're living in, we're not going to make you. People want me to make you, but I'm not going to do it. Oh, I can do it. I can force you and I can do all that stuff. I ain't doing it. It's too much work.
This is,
it won't help anyway, because if you don't have no roots, you don't have no life in you, then it ain't going to do no good. I'm not wasting my, why would I waste my time on something? You know what? If there's an empty house burning to the ground, and there's a full house next door that's on fire with lively people in it, which house do you think I'm going to go and apply the water to? I'm not going to waste my time preaching to unbelievers and make believers. I'd rather preach it like everybody's a believer and let everybody fall through, sift through where they need to. Because I don't want to hold the believers up. We want to eat. Because more I eat, the more I grow. The more I grow, the more I produce fruit. The more I produce fruit, the more I can eat. More I can eat, more I can... See, it's a cycle.
Amen.
Just like a tree every year. It's a cycle. So we want to do the right thing. We want to be the right kind of Christian. We want to be available for God to use. And this is all we really have. This is all we have on this side. I mean, what are you going to do? Go and make a bunch of money and forget God and go out here and live it up? That ain't going to get you nowhere. I'd rather just serve God and be happy with a few. Be happy with a little. Not always out here, I got to have, I got to have, I got to have. No, be content. Whatever state you're in, be content. And God will bless you because you are good ground. And because you're good ground, God's going to make sure he feeds you, he waters you, he takes care of you. He takes care of the good ground. He makes sure you have everything you need. So don't be so hard on yourself when people walk away from you. Understand. Understand. Understand who you are. Be sure of who you are. And don't let nobody convince you otherwise. You say, well, you preach pretty hard today and make me feel like I'm not good ground. Don't even believe me. If I preached it that hard and you feel like you're not good ground, then you know what you need to do. Preach back to me. You know, I might have been quiet, but I'm good ground. That's all I need to hear. That's all I need to hear. I say, you know what? You're right. You're good ground. And I'm not talking about being prodded and pride. I'm talking about you have to do this on your own. You have to do this because it's in you to do it. You have to do it because it's coming from you. My goodness, when our sister got up today and she's testified, I was watching. Let me show you what I saw. Let me show you what I saw. She's back in the restroom. I'm telling on you now. She's back in the restroom. And Tommy come up with the baby and come on the front row and sit down. And I sit there and say, Tommy must be going to testify.
Yes.
And then she comes from the restroom. I said, oh, she must be going to get the baby from Tommy so he could testify. And then she sat down next to me and said, oh, she's going to be with Tommy when he testifies. And then she got up and said, hey, everybody. I'm like, oh, Lord, she's cut loose. I watch all of this. And so what it did, it thrilled me. It turned me on because I saw somebody who didn't see but now can see. I saw somebody who was taking a back row but now saying, hey, you don't know what God's done for me. See, when you get somebody that's turned on like that, they're not going to stay on the back row. They're going to step up and say, I'm identified. I understand. I know what I'm doing now. That's all I need to see. That's fruit right there. That's all I'm talking about. And when I see that, I know somebody's understanding Amen. What I'm telling you.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, she didn't have to do no big song. She didn't have to do no big dance. All she did was start talking from where she was at. I didn't see, but I saw. Tommy started preaching me, and I understood. Tommy's like, I don't know what happened. But we know what happened because it's happened to every last one of us. When the revelation comes so real to you that you know that you see this thing for yourself, then you want to tell somebody. So that's what I know. When you see it for yourself, you want to tell somebody. Yeah, you don't tell me you see this thing and you keep it to yourself. You don't even see what you think you see if that's the case. Because when it really hits you like it hits you, when you really understand it like you say you understand it, you want to tell somebody about this.
Amen.
That woman at the well, when Jesus got a hold of her, oh my goodness, she had been preached to all her life. But then she heard about a man. But then when he come and started doing these things, she said, he was supposed to do these things. She dropped her water pot. She dropped her traditions. She dropped her idea. She dropped her very way of life. And ran back to the city and said, come see a man. That's how the church gets filled up. Oh, there's somebody preaching life here. Oh, we're not just going to church. We are the church. Oh, I tell you, there's some place that we can really get an understanding of this Bible. That's how the body gets grown. That's how the people get drawn. But if you're all just quiet up, buttoned up, you ain't got nothing to say, don't have nobody. How you going to tell about the hope that lies within you? In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock in times like these. We need a Savior in times like these. We need an anchor. Be very, very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock in times like these. You need a Savior in times like these. You need an anchor. Be very sure. I'm very sure. And grips the solid rock. What is this rock? This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. this rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. Grips the solid rock. Heavenly Father, oh, in times like these, Lord, when you rip the seals off of the word, Lord, now we can clearly see that we come from you, that we're a part of you. And Lord, I don't want to just half-step this thing. I want to check the dirt around me. I want to see how deep these roots go. Oh, I'm so sure of what I have. That nothing can toss me, nothing can turn me, nothing can move me. Lord, if there's someone here today who is good ground, that just maybe never taken that step to let you just have it all, let them just release it today. Let our roots grow deeper. Let a tree grow taller. Let the fruits that we have in us come forth out of us. Not for us, but Lord, it's for others. The tree doesn't bear the fruit for itself, but he bears that fruit for someone to come along. I give shade to the weary. I give fruit to the hungry. That's what I'm here for. And Lord, I need the roots for myself. I need my roots to be deep. I need it to run as far as it can so that when the troubles and trials of this life blow against me, oh, that I'll be able to stand strong, not for me, but so I can continue to stand and provide the shade and the fruit for others that are coming my way. You said all that the Father has given me will come. Lord, there's somebody coming my way, and I want to be that tree for them. I want to bear that fruit for them. I want to give them shade from their hot journey. Lord, I want to do that. In order to do that, I need to grow deep roots. I need to let the good dirt that's around me feed me, water me, give me everything that I need. And Lord, in turn, I want to turn around and give it right back to you. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for being with us, and ask you to help us to sincerely look at ourselves and make sure that we've built that house on that solid foundation. Not on the rock that the Catholics built, because that doesn't have a foundation. Matter of fact, it all just, every seed that hit that rock, Lord, withered up. It didn't have any roots. But the rock of revelation that you've given us, oh, let us use that, build around that, and we'll stand strong. Be with us, Lord. Keep with us, Lord. Thank you for it all. Thank you, Lord. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. I'm very sure. I'm there. Are you? Oh. I'm very, very sure my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus.
Solid rock. Amen. You're dismissed.